Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
In 2017, the world endured one of the greatest injustices of all time when filming of the third installment of the Sex and the City movies was abruptly and inexplicably shut down. Months later, here we sit, reeling from a lack of closure and struggling with questions that we'll never be able to answer. Living in a world where we're so callously robbed of the final chapter we all deserved is something I simply cannot stand for. Therefore, I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, am taking matters into my own hands, and I'm saving Sex and the City 3. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Saving Sex and the City 3, the podcast with one goal, really, and that is to reboot the Sex and the City 3 movie that was ripped from our clutches and just hope that we can get any idea really off the ground. I'm joined week to week for those of you who are new to the pod. I am joined week to week by a brand new guest who pitches me a Sex and the City storyline or character storylines for each of our girls, and then we kind of build the plot from there. And this week, I am so excited to have a very special guest all the way from the UK. It's Jodie Harsh.
Hi! Oh my God, Hi. It's so good to be here.
This is really exciting for me too, because I was thrilled, like a true chill ran through my body when I saw that you had like said publicly that you were such a fan of the podcast and then you had asked me to be on it. And these things, this is a dream situation for just especially like a independent podcast producer, because it really takes away all the work that I have to do the guests just come to me.
I'm a huge Sex and the City fan, but also I'm now a huge fan of this podcast, and I'm not just saying this, it's genuinely got me through this summer and this like awful 2020 that we're having. I became completely obsessed with your podcast. It is so good, so funny, and when I finished all the episodes I was like, I really want to come on.
Yeah, it was only right. It was the next logical step.
It's
I'm so
God's
glad.
Work.
Yeah, thank you. I think so too. It's my special baby of a podcast. Like, it definitely comes out sporadically, but it truly is just a labor of love. And my love story, my love letter, our love letter to Sex and the City, one of the best shows ever created.
The best show ever created.
And one of the most insane batshit movies I've ever seen.
Well, you wait for Sex and the City. Sex and the City 3, my movie, is quite literally batshit.
I love it. So have you been playing like Sex and the City DJ at all during these troubled times, like throwing on some apps and like just doing like a smattering of different ones? Or
I have dipped into a few episodes. When I was on vacation a few weeks ago, I watched both movies back to back.
Okay,
they are bizarre, aren't they? And brilliant.
The second one is like Uncanny Valley. Like, it's like, it's not right. You know what I mean?
No.
It's all the people that you recognize and like things that should feel great, but it feels really bad.
Something feels slightly off key all the way throughout. I can't even put my finger on it, but the movie should maybe not have been made, and it's problematic.
It's horrifically problematic. It feels like they like fed all the previous Sex and the City scripts into a computer and then had AI generate a movie script.
It's not a movie, it's an algorithm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but thank God for that, because without Sex and the City 2, we would not be trying to save Sex and the City 3 on this podcast.
My movie is probably equally as problematic.
I love that. It's only right. But I've been revisiting some episodes, like in times of deep emotional distress. Like, it is the only thing that soothes me is like throwing on some SATC eps. And I recently watched, it's one episode where like Samantha and Richard are really taking their relationship to the next level. Yeah. And she comes to visit him in his office.
Oh, she can't they have like, admit sex to the girls. Office.
Yeah, she blows him in the office, like, yes. And in front of the entire rest of the office. And yeah. I was like, wow, like Samantha would, I think, maybe be the most canceled of any one of the women.
She'd be arrested. Probably.
Yeah, it'd be Me Too arrested. Remember, she committed like basically a hate crime against trans women.
She did. The language that's used in some of the episodes, it's like, wow. Some of the episodes have really aged badly, to say the mm-hmm. least.
It just, it's like of another era. And I'm just like, wow, the things that we could get away with in the 90s, like back when you had the freedom to just like blow your boyfriend in front of his whole office.
Or
like,
just be racist. It's like, what? Yeah. But, you know, here we are. That's Sex and City 3. And nothing's changed.
Not much is going to change. And with that, I will pass the buck to you. And I would love to hear... it's however you really want to do it. Like, you can tell me the storylines and we can go back to the beginning, like whatever you see fit.
Okay, so I have some notes on the girls and some quite important cameos that I want to bring in, some previous characters that I want to resurrect.
Okay, great.
And I have a few essential moments I want to include, and mm-hmm. that's about it. So I guess we'll sort of piece it together from there.
Great.
First of all, I want to suggest that we set the movie in contemporary times. It's summer 2020.
It's now.
The world's fucked. Mm-hmm. Most of the movie takes place in Manhattan. But I do want to open somewhere quite exotic. But we'll get to that. I think it's a nice kind of curveball to open not in New York. We've seen New York. Yeah. You know, I want to open somewhere else.
I'm glad that you're saying that, because I was thinking today as I was like preparing for this pod, and I was like, I wonder how we will open, because I feel like every episode is like the classic, like I always default to like the Sex and the City song and then like a sweeping view of New York.
So we're on the really sidewalk, we've got Carrie, so we'll get there. I've got some notes on the characters. So Carrie, she's still with Big, they've been married for 12 years. Big is super old and boring, never goes out, he's retired, he just wants to play golf. Carrie gets cancelled in this movie. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe like an old column could resurface, or some problematic thing from her past can kind of crop back up. Or maybe there's a picture that resurfaces that's just wrong. Like, does she go to a Halloween party in the 90s dressed as Diana Ross? I thought, you know, is there some weird thing that's...
I think she could do a lot of different things. Like, I definitely see her... It's probably, like, a variety. Like, I see a picture resurfacing where she's, like, wearing an afro in a Halloween costume.
Yes. Yeah.
I see, like, even to take it back to, like, the Samantha moment, like, that column where she talks about Samantha's battle with the trans women, like... that whole street battle and Carrie being like, the best thing to do is like invite them, like the whole way that it's approached is like problematic, and Carrie really has to take the fall for it because she's the one that like wrote about it.
Totally. And she doesn't learn. She's still, you know, she's still not backing up her computer. She's still like losing phones. But she's also learned that it's not okay to cheat on her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because she kissed Aiden, didn't she, in the last movie?
Yeah, she did in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, and in this movie, she does cheat on him fully with Petrovsky.
Okay, I love it.
Right, so we're going there.
Yeah.
I feel like Charlotte's like curating Petrovsky at the Whitney or something. Like, he's doing some show that's about like social distancing or something, and Carrie sleeps with Petrovsky after all these years. What is it, like 20 years later? Or something? She fucks Petrovsky.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Carrie. So Charlotte, she works in the arts. She's curating Petrovsky's retrospective or whatever. She's a pretty established curator. But she has some quite questionable values that have grown. I almost feel like she's pro-life. You kind of think she may be voting for Trump. It's never established, mm-hmm. but certain things happen that suggest she's on the extreme right. Lily, her daughter, has a huge role in the film. She's now a supermodel. Lily's
okay, perfect.
She's being mentored by Bella. What's their surname? Goldenblatt.
Hadid.
Oh, no, Lily.
Goldenblatt York, I think.
That's it. So she's Lily G. That's mm-hmm. she's Lily G, the supermodel.
Lily G.
Yeah.
She's everywhere.
Everywhere. She's opening every digital show in New York Fashion Week. She's the face. She's in the Bulgari campaign. Carrie's obsessed, like always like trying to take selfies with her for her Insta. And, you know, Lily's like, whatever. Okay. Samantha. First of all, I want to be totally realistic. I don't think Kim Cattrall is in this movie. I mean, that's just not. We've had to recast her.
Who is recast as Samantha in your mind?
Okay, in my mind, Laverne Cox.
Okay, yes.
A black trans actress. She's an awesome actress.
Mixing it up with no explanation. We never even address Samantha's different. It just is still Samantha.
It's Samantha. Yeah. It's never acknowledged. Mm-hmm. Four white women in New York being best friends. I mean, no. Nah. What is this? 1998.
Yeah. Not in 2020. Absolutely. No.
And I want this movie to be diverse and be representative of the real world. So
yeah.
Samantha is patient zero in New York.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. It's real 2020 vibes in this movie.
Is she a super spreader?
She absolutely she is, but I feel like she's not as sexual as she used to be. I feel like Samantha is in SLA, SLA, Sex and Love Anonymous. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's dealing with her sexual the ghosts of her sexual past.
I love that. So she's really and maybe she is doing lots of business with because she was representing Smith Jared, obviously, for a while. Yeah. And so she got her, she got into Hollywood kind of stuff. But I think with the film industry really, aligning with China, maybe Samantha was managing the careers of, various Chinese movie stars and stuff.
This fits so perfectly with my... this is incredible. Yes, because we open in Wuhan, so we'll get there.
Amazing.
Miranda, top human rights lawyer. She's the Miranda we love, you know. Brady is questioning their gender. I feel like we need to have that conversation. So at some point we get the sort of the gender pronoun dynamic chat. You know, and I guess Charlotte doesn't get it. Charlotte's like, what do you mean? What do you mean he doesn't know what she is? You know, also we get some weird...
She's like, Brady's such a cute boy, though. Like, he should just stay a boy. Don't you think? Like, he's cuter as that. Like, he's 100. Not going to look as cute as a girl.
Totally. Head.
And it's just like, Charlotte doesn't really understand. Charlotte's all aesthetic. Yeah.
All aesthetic. She just doesn't get it. And Miranda's like, can you not... gender my child, they want to be who mm-hmm. they want to be. And Charlotte just does not, she can't get her head around that. Okay. Yeah. Returning features, Stanford and Anthony have to come in. They have to be quite they have to be all the way through the film. I want mm-hmm. big roles. They have a baby now. I feel
a
like
a new fresh baby, or like a they had a baby a few years ago and it's like a toddler now.
The baby's one. I'm gonna say one. It's relatively new. They still have this open relationship, and I had this idea about this might be complicating the plot a bit too much, but I kind of wanted Anthony. It is Anthony, isn't it? Anthony or Anthony?
Anthony. Yeah.
I kind of wanted him to get murdered at some point in a sort of don't fuck with cats scenario.
Definitely. I think their open relationship could lead to him messaging. Maybe he has a thing for young twinks. And so he finds himself entangled with a Luca Magnotta type.
100%, yes.
And he is brutally murdered, and it's a shocking twist. Like, it's a shocking twist.
In the it's tragic because they have a baby. It's tragic. Okay, this is what I'm most excited about. I have a huge role here for Magda.
Great. And also, you know that that actress is dead, right?
We'll recast her.
So she also will have to be recast, or it's a hologram. Also, we could also devote some of the budget to just doing a full Magda hologram.
I think most of the budget goes to that.
Yeah.
The majority of the budget goes to Magda. She's self-isolating. She's furloughed. Still with Miranda, but on furlough.
I love that Miranda kicks Magda out of her house, because I'm pretty sure she's like a live-in housekeeper slash nanny, and she's like, no, you need to actually go isolate, like, away from our family.
Totally. But Magda's fine because she's the oldest but highest rated person on OnlyFans.
Oh, okay. So she finds like a whole career pivot. She's nurtured like a very generous and large OnlyFans audience, like, ever since OnlyFans launched.
Completely. She's almost... Okay. Did you ever come across the Cock Destroyers? Those two
I haven't.
I'll send you a link.
Tell me more.
These two porn stars, these two women who became viral sensations by just being completely outrageous on OnlyFans. So I feel like the gays love Magda. You know, she's gone beyond viral. Like, at Magda on Instagram has 2.3 million followers.
Okay, I love it.
Compared to
all this happened during quarantine. As soon as she got viral, she had to make it work.
She blew up right in February 2020. Magda joined OnlyFans in February 2020. She's got 2.3 million followers compared to Carrie's like 14k.
And I think, like, Magda is probably, like, 100 years old at this point. Like,
around 100,
She also can make... She made headlines the oldest person to be on OnlyFans.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's, that's kind of how things, like, kicked off a little
100%.
Bit.
100%. She's a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
She's a
sharp as attack. Sharp as attack.
But like, the gays love her. I mean, she's blown. Everyone talks about Magda. She's a water cooler. I feel like she's like a guest judge on season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, everyone loves Magda.
Yeah. Are you following Magda? People say to each other. Yes.
Like, what would Magda do? Is like a fan account, and like, yeah. Totally. So the thing I've been thinking about, the things that I want from this movie. I want there to be a huge protest for climate change.
Okay, great.
I want someone's nudes to be leaked. I don't know who. And at the end of the movie, Carrie Bradshaw dies. This is the final. Okay, wow. This is the end of Sex and the City. Yeah. This is the end of the franchise. Yeah.
The final chapter.
The final chapter. And it's awful. But at the same time, is it awful?
It's a fitting ending.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Carrie Bradshaw... You know, she has to go.
She has to pave the way for a new, a new sex writer
100%.
To really come in and like take over, pick up where she left off. Yeah,
totally. So they're the things that I need to happen in the movie. And that's quite a lot.
I love that. Feels really doable. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a positive attitude about all of this, and we're gonna make it happen.
Okay. So we open sweeping shots of an unfamiliar city. It's not New York. You're like, wait, is that the Empire State? No, it's not. Is that a New York sidewalk? No, it's not.
There's fields. I've never been to Wuhan. We open in the Wuhan meat market.
Yes, the wet market.
The wet market. And you think like the sky's like, it's like blue clouds and like, it's so beautiful. And the music is like really glam. And then it gets like pans down. And instead of the hustle and bustle of New York City, it's just the wet market of Wuhan. Yeah.
There are like snakes being cut in half for like meat.
Snakes being cut in half. It's a real like,
it's
a real grisly and gross and completely like egregious animal violence.
It's just. Yeah. It's revolting. And there are animal rights protesters outside the premiere of Sex and the City 3. It's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge controversial thing when the movie comes out. It's like, did we really need to see that? And we're like, yes, we actually
we did.
It just is what it is.
This movie gets...
Like, this is the world. This movie is telling you what happens in the world.
And this movie gets those wet markets shut down.
Yeah,
as
and then that's
see.
The end.
Mm-hmm. So straight out the gate, we realise that we're in for a controversial ride. Like we've opened with the gals in fucking Wuhan.
They're all there.
They're all there. Miranda's on a human rights trip to get some expats back to America because the American borders are being shut, I guess.
Yes.
They're stuck in Wuhan. And the girls are there to help her. They're in for the ride.
Are we mid-pandemic or pre-pandemic? I feel like we're right before pandemic.
Absolutely. The cusp.
Okay.
Yeah.
The cusp of the pandemic. No one really knows. Like, COVID has not been realized or announced, but it's definitely brewing.
Yeah.
And our girls, instead of like watching them go on vacation, we're like mid vacation.
100%. Yeah.
And I feel like
We only get 5 minutes of Wuhan. Like it's just the beginning of the movie, and then we're suddenly back in New York. Like it's just the opening sort of sequence is Wuhan.
Okay, wow.
I feel like that's not huge detail. It's almost like,
I was going to say that like maybe all the girls are at the wet market and they're Carrie's like screaming and squealing at like everything that's happening. And it's like we find out that they've been on vacation in China, like took a really glamorous girls trip to China.
Yes.
And now they're on like the unglamorous part where like Miranda's having to like... Either Miranda's
Got
having
it.
To negotiate something, or Samantha is like accompanying one of her stars on like a tour of something.
Samantha, has she done some deal with China Air? Has Samantha brought some American actor over to do a campaign for China Air? That is an airline, right? China Air, I'm sure it is.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, well, it is now.
It is now. And yeah, maybe Samantha has brought, who is like the actor that she is like liaising with China? I feel like Samantha's also like deep in with like the Chinese government and like is like she's helping like kind of spread their propaganda or message that they want to be spread about China and Chinese politics.
Got it.
So she's using also her Hollywood connections to kind of like help out China.
Got it. But it's just at this really unfortunate time when there's this sort of weird illness,
and part of like their deal was that the celebrity that she's bringing over to shoot this like big promo for China Air also is gonna take a tour of, you know, more rural Chinese areas.
Got
it. It's like the last stop on the trip, like promo stuff.
Yeah. And the girls go along for the ride and what they see shocks them. It's not the China they were used to at the beginning of the trip.
No. And it also is kind of a throwback to like their final day in Abu Dhabi where they're in the marketplace, like about to get stoned to death. Like they're like, Carrie's like, why do we always have to leave things on like such a bad note?
Yeah. It's almost a reference to that awful, horrific scene in Sex and City 2. Exactly. Yeah. It's a throwback.
So who's the star that Samantha is like arranging this kind of like meet and greet in the wet market with?
I feel like it's who's some hot, it's like Timothy Chalamet or something.
Yeah. Okay. It's Timothy Chalamet
in China with the gals. Mm-hmm.
In China with the gals, and she's just like, Timmy is so hot right now. And they're just like, wow, like Samantha really has like her finger on the pulse. Like she's negotiated this crazy deal, like got Timothy Chalamet to be like the face of China Air.
Yeah.
And now he's like going around the wet market, like trying various foods and like meeting the vendors. And
there's a bat. There's like some bat in a cage, and it's like,
ooh. Yeah, we even get like a contagion where you kind of see, oh my God, wait, I have actually a great opening, which is We open Contagion style where it pans down and a bat is flying over a pig and poops on the pig. Then the pig is killed and the pig is taken into this wet market and like thrown on top of a bunch of other dead pigs.
Yeah.
And then we see the pig get cut up and like served to or the vendor is touching the pig and then shakes hands with Samantha.
Samantha,
and
100%.
That's like how we open.
Yeah. Like you could be watching like a documentary, but it's no, it's Sex and the City 3.
It's Sex and the City 3. Yeah. It's raw. And she's like, pleased to meet you. Like, it's so wonderful, the culture here. Like, just she's unfazed by all of the stuff. And the other girls, like, Carrie's like stepping on like a puddle of blood and like screaming. And,
Totally.
Charlotte.
And I feel like the opening credits music is like the normal Sex and City music is played. As we're kind of like panning down. And then all of a sudden the music goes like a bit kind of like, like a bit Chinese. Like with like a xylophone. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a gong. There's like an inappropriate gong. Yeah. Like,
and you realize in just the opening few seconds, you realize that this movie is going to be as culturally insensitive as Sex and City 2. You're a bit like, oh.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Samantha shakes hands with a vendor and like, she's kind of in the background as like photographers are focused on Timmy, like doing his thing. Carrie and Charlotte are like screaming. And then Miranda's like on a Bluetooth, just headset, like trying to make moves happen.
Yeah.
And Miranda's like, Miranda kind of comes up or she's like, I hate to cut things short, but like, I just got weird news that like, that something like people are kind of getting sick in this area or something. So like, we actually need to go.
Yeah.
Or like someone clues them in, like hustles the ladies together.
Yeah.
And they're like, we need to get on the PJ and like back to New York.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we're back before we're just back. Is there six and seven?
Yeah.
And then we're just back. We're in New York.
Yeah. Zoom. It's kind of like ominous, and then it's just like back and fabulous in New York.
Yeah, like you don't understand what you just saw in the first 5 minutes of the movie. You're like, what? China? Like what?
Why?
It's confusing. Yeah, 100%. Okay.
Because by the time this comes out, like with the news cycle and COVID, it's like this will be all forgotten, and you'll be like, why were they in China? And like, what pray tell could they be alluding to? And then your memory will be refreshed as you like watch the movie. You'll be like, oh yeah, coronavirus. Yeah. Okay.
And then
so they're back in New York.
I don't know how appropriate this movie is, but this is anyway, we're back and I feel like we're quarantined.
Okay, now we're mid-pandemic.
We're mid-pandemic. I feel like they're at brunch, but on Zoom. It's a Zoom brunch, just the four girls.
It's a Zoom brunch.
Yeah.
And they're catching up on, maybe it's like we even say 1 month later. There's like a title card that says like
a month later. I feel like there's some chat about dating apps. I want to bring dating apps in because they never dealt with that, obviously. So I feel like, who's on a dating app? I guess.
I mean, probably like Brady, or is he old enough? How old is he now?
How old are they now? Yeah, because Brady's questioning their gender. So I feel like Brady is 19.
Okay, Brady is on dating apps.
Yes.
And they find it really confusing, and maybe Miranda is like saying how Brady's like dealing with the dating app scene.
Totally.
They're all catching up on like what has been happening in their lives over Zoom. So I think that we have the split screen in four ways.
Yeah.
And we see them all like eating their eggs or gluten-free pancakes or whatever. And
banana bread.
Caught up to date.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte's made banana bread or something. You know?
She's really into baking. And she's had to quarantine. Maybe Lily G moved back home. Like Lily G was traveling. She was set to like shoot the Fendi campaign.
Yeah.
Everything was really going to happen for her.
Yeah.
And now we just thought it would be best if she came home. So she's home, but like she and Charlotte aren't really getting along.
No, Charlotte can't deal with her new found fame and her bad attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially her eating disorder.
Yeah, and Lily is also pissed off. You know, she's maybe like 21 years old. She wants to be like hot on the scene, going out to clubs, getting papped and like smoking cigs. And none of that is happening.
No, so it was cut just, short. Like,
furious.
She was just on the cusp of like superstardom.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe also Lily leaves partway through to go like quarantine with other models or something like that.
Bella.
Yeah, with Bella and like Gigi. She like leaves to go to Pennsylvania and like hang with them.
In their like major like mansion by the river.
Yeah. So Charlotte and Lily are having issues. Big is like on total lockdown because he's 80 years old.
He's 80.
He truly, if he gets sick, it'll just be the end.
Yeah. How old's Carrie? Like, she's 55 or 60.
Yeah, she's probably like 55.
Yeah. Okay.
Or maybe he's like 75.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like he's always like been 20 years older than her.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So he's on total lockdown. Like, she's barely even seeing him. He's like locked in a bedroom.
He's in a bedroom and she's like, it's for the best. Like, honestly, he sleeps so much and all he cares about is doing his little like putting green thing that he like set up.
Yes.
So like, and he reads and like watches black and white movies. So we really don't have that much to talk about anyway.
And I feel like Carrie has already investigated dating apps herself. In fact, I feel like she wants to get onto Raya.
Okay.
She's trying to get onto Raya. She didn't get accepted. She hasn't cheated on Big, but she's taking steps already. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not on Tinder.
She's horny. She's like,
she's horny. Like, yeah.
I just want to have sex. Big doesn't really fuck anymore. And she needs like the feeling of just like a man taking her in his arm and like dick. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's investigating an affair.
Yeah. And Samantha's like, I can get you on Raya easily. Like, no problem there.
Yeah.
Let me call some people.
Samantha PRs Raya. She's like, it's booming in lockdown. You know,
Also, is Samantha sick at this point?
Oh,
is
of course.
Is Samantha's in the hospital.
Forgot all about that. That's patient zero.
Yeah, she's patient zero. So she's zooming in from the hospital.
Yeah.
But she's just gotten taken off a ventilator. She had a tough battle, but she pulled through. She's off. She's like, ladies, I'm off the ventilator.
Yeah,
and like,
she's
everyone's
fine.
Like, woo!
Yeah.
And she's fine. Yeah. Like, it was touch and go for a moment, but she really made it.
She's,
and
like, Samantha she's Jones doing is a, great. She's a trooper. Like, she's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's strong. Yeah. There's no, it's going to take a lot more than COVID to take Samantha.
Yeah. Okay. And then, and Miranda, where's Miranda? She's working.
Miranda's working from home. The office has shut down. And maybe this was the time, like, she and Brady are spending so much time together, and Brady has come forward to say that they are questioning their gender and like exploring other opportunities. So,
and Miranda's,
Samantha,
she's Miranda's fine. Miranda says, I love you no matter what. Like, this is amazing. Yeah. We'll explore this together. I'm here for you if you need me. They have a great scenario together. Like, she's very supportive. Like,
very supportive, and they are becoming closer than ever during quarantine.
Totally. Yeah.
And Steve is also so supportive.
So
and
it's supportive. Just
like, it's just like a really great vibe at their like little Brooklyn townhouse.
Yeah. It's like the dream scenario. It's a rare dream scenario for someone who is discovering their and exploring their own gender.
And that's when we hear Charlotte kind of weigh in with her thoughts on it.
Do you think
like Brady's gonna make a cute girl though? Like, don't you think like it's a little bit bad? Like, what is he gonna do with his hair? Like, she's just asking all the wrong
is stuff. He a drag queen? She doesn't get it. She's I've seen Drag Race. I know what that, you know, is. It, she has no idea.
Yeah, she's like, do you guys watch Drag Race? Is it like that?
Yes.
Kind of like that, right? And they're really like, Charlotte, like, how are you not understanding all this?
You're so sheltered and just, yeah. Okay. Right.
And maybe even Lily walks by and she's like, God, Mom, like, it's not that. Like, Lily's woke enough to just be like, Mom, shut up. Like,
Lily,
like, she like goes.
Lily's like,
slams 80-ish. Some cupboards around in the kitchen.
Lily doesn't like even see gender. She's mm-mm. just like, she's like 18 years old. You know, she's like, what is the problem? Totally. What
Gen
is the problem?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that's the girls.
So that's the girls, and we're caught up to date on like everything that's going on in their lives.
Okay.
So Samantha's gonna get out of the hospital in like a week, and maybe she's organizing like a huge virtual welcome home party for herself.
Sure.
Like a gala.
A gala, yes. on Zoom.
Or IRL.
Yeah. Okay.
No, just on Zoom. Yeah. She just wants everyone, the who's who of the fashion and entertainment world, to be there.
She wants Lily to be there.
Yeah. And she wants Lily. And so she is asking Charlotte, like, for my welcome home / you survived COVID gala, I would really love it if Lily could make an appearance.
Yeah, there's and a fee. Could, like, there is a fee for Lily. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We could arrange a fee. Like,
We'll arrange a fee. And if she can do like a dedicated Instagram post, like Samantha's like, I want to put together a whole package.
Yeah.
And I'll send it over to you.
Yeah.
And like, see if you can negotiate something.
There's a swipe up story option. Like, there's like, she just wants, you know, this is, she's PRing herself and her return to health.
Yeah.
Like only Sam can.
Because it's like, because now it's digital, everyone in the world that she would want to be there is going to be there. So she's just planning like this like amazing like fashion extravaganza that is truly a world. Like, she's reaching out to people from all continents, the who's who of every continent to like welcome her back home.
Totally. Who's invited? Like,
I mean, definitely, like, the richest person in Antarctica, like, whoever that is.
Okay, so, like, money.
Money, yeah. And, like, money, famous, wealthy. Like, we're obviously going to get, like...
Marc Jacobs is there.
Lots of, like, Chinese stars are there and, like, businessmen. I think we get... Yeah, like all of fashion. Like, it's like Bella and Gigi will be coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Donatella will be there.
100%, yeah. Donatella's dressed her.
Mm-hmm. Donatella's dressed her. And the whole thing is, it's black tie. So you have to join on Zoom, this like ultra private Zoom, and be in black tie. And there will be some sort of like red carpet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That some sort of technology where it will showcase all the outfits. Basically, Samantha's hosting like a Met Gala.
Yeah. The Met Gala, like, we didn't get in 2020.
Yeah. But it's just now like Samantha's gala, like welcome home. I think this would also be a great way to get Stanford and Anthony into the mix, because obviously they're invited to the gala.
Isn't he like an interior designer?
He's an interior designer.
So he's doing set design for Samantha's Zoom call.
He's putting together the like the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Onto which everyone's like image and outfit will be projected to all the other people at the party.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And Vogue are doing a thing. Like, Vogue have arranged to show everyone's outfits and
But Anthony's like specifically art directing.
Yeah. Yeah. What does Stanford do? What's his job?
That's a good question. Did he ever have an explicit job?
I don't think it was ever established, but he was
like a trust fund kid.
Oh.
Because remember, like, early on in Sex and the City, Carrie and Stanford meet his like grandmother on the Upper East Side, who's gonna give him an inheritance, and she's like maybe going to be his beard so that he can get the money.
Yes. Yeah. So Stanford's
just... Yeah, maybe he never had a job.
He never had a job. Yeah. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's a house husband. He, like, manages the house.
Yeah.
And, like, and arranges for childcare. But maybe Stanford is, like, really stressed because they have not all their childcare professionals quit.
Yeah.
And now he has to take care of this kid by himself. And it's really putting a lot of strain on his relationship with Anthony.
Absolutely. And he's, we revisit dating apps with him as well. He's on Grindr. I mean, he's on Scruff. He's on them all.
Yeah.
He's got all of them. Yeah.
So it's Anthony. Anthony's Grindering and Scruffing.
Yes,
because
exactly.
Because he's so irritated with Stanford.
Yeah.
He's just like,
yeah. And he's horny. And, you know, they have that open relationship, don't they, that they established at the wedding. Do you remember he says to Carrie?
Basically, like, the open relationship, which was just that Anthony can, like, sleep with whoever
totally,
he wants.
Totally, yeah.
And, like, so Stanford's lucky to be married to anyone at all.
Totally. So, we see Anthony grab his phone and it's like he's been sent a dick pic.
Okay.
And he's like, and that's it. And then we come back to that later. We just see a dick.
Perfect.
We see dick on Anthony's phone. And it's not Stanford's. And we know.
And a lot of this movie, it seems like, has to take place over Zoom because people are quarantining.
Yes,
but that's okay. Yes. That's just like that's like where we're at. And
when this premieres in 2021, we're used to it. We, you know, it doesn't surprise us or shock us. We don't question the production values of the movie because all we've seen in 2020 is Zoom.
So we have, like, it's like a Zoom between Samantha and Anthony planning out all the amazing details, like, of this gala. And he's kind of just, everything's planned at this point, but he's going down the list and he's like, and this will be, like, how it captures the image and then it'll be projected and, like, everything's going to be fabulous. Like, it truly is, like, the party to end all parties.
Yeah.
And also, thank God you're alive.
Yeah, 100%. But more importantly, this is how we're lighting you and blah, blah, blah. Like, you need to look fresh. We're going to make you look really young. You're going to look stunning. And she looks stunning.
She's
Laverne.
Like,
Laverne
Real
playing
House,
Samantha.
Laverne. Yeah. Is truly, you know, like on Real Housewives and stuff, like that took them a minute to figure out how to get like the right confessionals and like Zoom stuff.
Yeah.
It's like now they've reached Housewives of Beverly Hills, like reunion type of lighting and like crisp whatever. But with Laverne as Samantha, like it is just like popping off.
She could be 30. Like it's like you just want to look like
And her. Anthony says that. He's just like, you've never looked better.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah.
I actually think it was the best possible thing for you to go through this because it you now glow from within.
You needed COVID.
Yeah. She's like, you don't have to tell me twice. It was the best diet I've ever been on.
Love, love, love. Okay. And remember, so Samantha's celibate as well. So how do we find that out? Is she, she's doing
Anthony gets some sort, like he's screen sharing with her and someone texts him or he gets a message that pops up on his computer that is a dick pic or something.
Mm.
And then Samantha can comment like,
I haven't seen one of those for a while.
Yeah.
Because
and he's like, what, are you celibate or something? And then she's like, honey, I've been like in...
I'm 3 years.
SLA.
I'm 3 years.
I'm head of my SLA chapter. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do we see her do a Zoom SLA meeting? Do we see...
We could have... She's like... we could have like her zooming into one or be like, I hope that... I wonder how many of them turned back to dick when I was gone for the past month.
And I feel like we see on the Zoom windows, I see... It's a great opportunity to bring in some old cameos. Like maybe we see Richard. Maybe Richard's in SLA now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Richard's
in SLA, yeah.
Yeah. And you know the guy with the funkiest tasting spunk? Like he's
Funky
in there.
Spunk
yeah.
is there.
He's
it's
there.
Been a great way for Samantha to reconnect with like old lovers, but also like in a friendship way.
Totally. And there are all these Easter eggs. Like you see like all these people that she's fucked in the past and they're all in SLA.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So do we fast forward now to the night of this gala?
Yeah, we're there.
Are people like, I feel like Carrie's getting ready and she's trying to get Big ready, but maybe she's like, she won't let him come out of the bedroom or something.
Yeah, he has to zoom in from like his laptop in bed.
And he can't figure it out because he's old. And so he like can't like open. She's trying to explain. And then maybe finally she just like loses all patience with him. And she's just like, you know what? Just forget it. Like, I'm doing this alone from the living room. Like, I've had enough.
There's tension.
Had enough.
Yeah.
There's tension. Yeah.
She's looking and for something else.
I think also that this is a really great opportunity for or organic opportunity for Carrie and Petrovsky to come face to face, because obviously he's invited to the gala.
Yes.
So maybe she opens her computer. She's like, now I'm running late. Like, I'm running late. And like, she's dressed up in like a fabulous outfit. Like, she's head to toe in like Dior current season, like a whole look.
Yeah, she looks incredible.
Mm-hmm. And she's late and she opens up and she clicks on the link and it loads and suddenly she's face to face with Petrovsky.
It's the big window is open and it's just her and Petrovsky. And she hides.
Yeah.
Remember there was that scene when she hit, can you see me?
Can you see me?
We revisit that. Can Petrovsky, and he can see her.
Yeah, and maybe he's like talking, Curry? Like, maybe it's his moment of like he's on the red carpet or being interviewed or something, and Carrie's like on mute. So she's like, maybe she's not on mute and she's like screaming, and then she interrupts his like moment, and then he's like, Carrie Bradshaw?
Yeah.
And then
she's made his moment all about her, which funny, Carrie Bradshaw moment. Yeah.
And everyone is kind of like, ooh, oh my God, like, whoa.
Yeah.
And then and then we see, that's when we get like also to see everyone else that's on the Zoom gala. And maybe
Timothy, everyone's there.
Timothy is there. Yeah. He miraculously didn't get COVID. Like, no, never had
he's
it.
He's fine.
He's fine.
Thriving.
It never was an issue.
He was asymptomatic.
Young Hollywood.
Yeah.
They're making an appearance. And then I think maybe Petrovsky DMs Carrie like on the side. Like, she gets messages.
Yeah.
Like, and he privately is messaging her. And he's like, nice to see you. And they're kind of like catching up.
Yeah.
He's like, they're messaging back and forth. He's telling her that he's in New York and
planning an exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd love her to stop by when he's setting up.
Yeah. And maybe Carrie even like then messages Charlotte and is like, how could you not have told me about this?
Charlotte's kept it from her. Yeah. 100%.
I think Carrie then starts Zoom fights with like everyone about this. Like, she's messaging Charlotte and she's like, that's crazy that you didn't tell me, like, how dare you,
you're
like,
supposed blah, to be blah, my blah. Best friend.
Yeah. And Charlotte's like, I knew that it would just be an issue, like, I knew that you couldn't handle it, so I just didn't, I wanted to find the right time and the place, and when Samantha was in the hospital, it just wasn't the right time. And Carrie's like, still pissed, it doesn't matter.
Carrie's like, what's happened to you over the past 10 years? Like, you've changed. Mm-hmm.
You've changed. You keep secrets. You bake bread. You're making banana bread. Like, and she's just like, that's not how I remember.
Yeah, that's not.
That's not the Charlotte I became friends with. And then Charlotte's like, well, you're not the Carrie that I became friends with. So they're like having a full blown like friendship meltdown.
They have a massive meltdown, a massive fight.
And maybe Miranda as her plus one brings Brady, and it's kind of like Brady's like entree on the scene.
Yeah, wearing a stunning like vintage gown by like Helmut Lang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
That they borrowed from one of their like fab friends. Like Brady's, yeah, maybe Brady's Lily. Fab. Yes.
I think, yeah, I think Lily sent it over or arranged for something to be delivered.
Totally. Because, like,
she overheard how Charlotte was acting about it all on that Zoom.
She's mortified.
Yeah, Lily has reached out and, like, arranged for, like, designer goods just to be dropped off.
Yeah, Lily DM'd. For Brady. Yeah, was like, remind me your address and I'm sending something for that stupid Zoom thing that you have to go to. Yeah. Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And so then Lily makes a speech. Like, everyone is making a speech. They're praising Samantha for making it through this tough time. Maybe there's even some, like, charity or, like, auction element that happens where you get to see people bidding, like, bidding wars on stuff. And maybe it's a bidding, there's a bidding for, like, a private tour of Petrovsky's new exhibition.
Definitely. Which Carrie bids on.
Carrie bids on, and then she doesn't know what comes over her, but she just keeps bidding and bidding and bidding.
Yeah.
And before you know it, she's spent, like, $60,000.
She's won.
Yeah, she's won.
And it's, and, like, she's like, what have I done? She's freaking out.
Oh my God. Yeah.
She can hear Big in the other room, like, snoring, and she's like, what the fuck have I done? Mm-hmm. I'm going to meet Petrovsky.
Yeah.
It's set.
And she's, like, sent, the message is loud and clear, like, I'm interested.
I've paid $60,000.
I've now paid $60,000 to have, like, time with you.
Yeah.
So, okay, where do we need to go from here?
Well, we need to get to Carrie's death at the very end of the movie. So, I know that's somewhere we need to go.
Yeah, I think what happens is that after this gala, Carrie and Stanford are having like a socially distanced walk in Central Park. Because we have to get some people together.
Yeah. Around. Like, we can't do the whole movie.
Enough is enough. Yeah, I can't do the whole movie on Zoom.
Yeah.
So they're walking, and Carrie mentions, like, she never saw Stanford on the Zoom. And he was like, well, yeah, I mean, Anthony and I got in, like, a horrific fight. Like, I wasn't going to go. And she was like, the same thing happened with me and Big. And, like, he didn't go. And then Stanford can say, like, I think he's connected with some young, hot thing. Like, I see him texting secretly all the time. And, like, I know our relationship is open, but, like, come on.
Yeah.
And then Carrie's like, well, I may or may not have spent $60,000 to go see Petrovsky's exhibition. And then Stanford's, like, kind of delighted by this.
Stanford loved Petrovsky.
Loved him.
Loved him.
Yeah. Was all about him. Thinks that was the one. Like, Carrie made a huge mistake. She could have been jet setting.
Carrie, he took you to Paris. He was the one.
Took you to Paris. You were wearing all these dresses. Like, so what? And he's like, the best thing about a relationship is not seeing people for long periods of time. Like, you were about to live the dream.
Totally.
And so he's like, get this back up and running. Like, become international again. Become the girl that you're meant to be.
Yeah.
And he's like, fully encouraging this affair.
100%. He loves Petrovsky.
So does she then have, like, a privately, like, social distance tour of this?
Well, we're now, like, a few months into the pandemic, and lockdown's eased a bit, and Petrovsky's exhibition is going to happen, IRL. Mm-hmm. It's not a digital exhibition, it's happening in real life. So she's preparing to go to the Whitney to meet Petrovsky. She's got a mask, she's got her mask ready, and they're going to meet.
Yeah, wow.
Face to face.
Tension, tension has been building.
Yeah.
And she, again, looks like flawless. Big is still in the bedroom. Like,
she hasn't seen him. Yeah, she's not seen him.
Won't let him out anymore. Like, he's basically locked in there, and he's like, "Where are you going?" And she's like, "Going out. Don't worry about it." And like, she makes him quarantine from her because she's just resumed business as usual, like seeing people with masks and stuff. But she really doesn't want to get him sick.
So they're having IRL brunches at this stage. They're like,
and she's like, "I can go out, but you can't do that." So it just makes more sense for you to just stay in the room.
Totally.
And like, yeah. So it's basically Carrie's like committing elder abuse at this point.
Oh my God. It's almost like Misery. Like
yeah, it is.
And Carrie is Kathy Bates and Big is basically tied to a bed, quarantined forever.
Yeah. Siphoned away from society at large. Just like, who knows what's happening with him?
Yeah. No, yeah. And Big never had any friends. So no one's missing Big. No one's like, where's John? No one.
Where's John? No, no.
No one.
All his friends are either gone or they're just like senile at this point. So Carrie goes to the Whitney and she and Charlotte is there to like help facilitate this meeting or whatever, because she's kind of like the liaison.
I feel like Carrie's smoking cigarettes. She's nervously smoking cigarettes. She's back to smoking.
She's smoking.
Yeah,
she might have her mask off, like she's waiting outside the Whitney, she's unmasked, she's smoking, and maybe a paparazzi gets a shot of her with no mask, smoking on the street, like flicking her cigarette and like walking by like an elderly woman with a walker while she's like, while Carrie is not wearing a mask.
And she doesn't even think that could be a problem or an issue. She has no idea.
No, she doesn't see it, but little does she know, like, the shitstorm that's coming her way.
Yeah. Oh, because she has to get cancer, of course. Yes. Yeah. Okay, right.
So she and Charlotte also haven't spoken since their, like, epic Zoom fight.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's being really curt with her, but...
But Carrie's raised $60,000 for the Whitney.
Yeah, so it actually, like, Charlotte's being curt, but, like, professional.
Yeah.
And Carrie and Petrovsky, it's, like, an instant connection again. He unveils a piece, and it's, like, maybe it's, like, a gigantic shoe. And, reveals to Carrie
that this shoe is inspired by her.
He's now making art about her. Which is kind of the dream if you're in that situation. Like, that's
if you're an egomaniac, you're an egomaniac like Carrie Bradshaw, to hear like a famous artist is making art inspired by you, you are thrilled to your back teeth.
And the whole thing too is like they have to stay like 6 feet apart and wear these masks. So like the whole scene is them like being apart and like, will they or won't they touch? Like, what's gonna happen? And maybe he invites her over to like his new penthouse, which is even better than his old one.
It's a block. Essentially, it's a block.
A whole city block of a building that's just his building. And she makes the decision to go. And it's like, she has some sort of voiceover that's like,
I had to ask myself,
could I really stay 6 feet apart anymore? Like, something like that. And you see her, like, they pull their masks off and they just, like, embrace and they're making out and, like, fall into bed.
And also with her voiceover, like, the 6 feet apart, I mean, the foot thing comes into play because, of course, he's made a shoe.
Totally.
The shoe.
Yeah, he's
together.
Made the gigantic shoe art.
So that brings the sort of 6 feet thing, you know, the whole thing is tied together and it's just like...
And I want to say about the shoe art that when we talk about it here, it sounds really bad, but it's actually like incredible.
It's stunning. You've never seen art like...
You can't even conceive of it in your mind now because we've never seen as a culture art this moving and important and major.
It so changes the art world.
It ushers in a whole new art movement. Trust well, us.
Yeah. Okay. So Petrovsky and Carrie are in his ginormous city block apartment and they're making out. The masks are on the floor. We get a shot of these just two masks on the floor. Mm-hmm. And then we pan
intertwined.
Up.
Yeah, intertwined. They're kind of, the masks are a little bit tangled together. And yeah. Pan up.
We pan up
them.
And Carrie is kissing this like 82-year-old, like, he's older than Big.
He's older than Big, but he's still sexy.
And his body's amazing.
Yeah.
You're like, what? You never really thought of Petrovsky like this, but all of a sudden the viewers are like, oh, he's just, yeah, like, he's hot.
He's hot.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe Carrie was asymptomatic and she just gave Petrovsky COVID. And because she's been out and about, like, at brunch, she's been, like, I think we find out, like, a photographer, a paparazzi, has been like following Carrie because they're trying to like expose the celebrities that like aren't being respectful about COVID. So like
author Carrie Bradshaw spotted.
Yeah. Carrie Bradshaw spotted like in this moment, they're cuddling and whispering sweet nothings into each other's ears. And they're trying to make plans for like their next date. And he's like, why don't I take you? He's like traveling still, like he's taking precautions, but he's also just like obviously in great shape. So he's not that.
And he's on private jets. So, you know.
Yeah. And he's like, you've been distancing, haven't you? And then Carrie's like, sure. Like maybe like tells like a little white lie.
Yeah.
And then they make a plan for their next date. The next time they'll see each other, he's going to whisk her back to Paris maybe. And they're going to have like their moment.
Yeah.
And I think Carrie shows up to the airport to like board the jet only to find out that Petrovsky is like deathly ill with
like you've never seen anyone looking so ill.
No, he's like his people call her and they're like, we're like, we just needed to warn you that Alex has like contracted COVID-19 and we're doing contact tracing. We know that he was with you. And like Carrie's just like, oh God. And she lies again and like tell, like she's now like, she's burying herself in like a web of lies because she has not actually been social distancing. Like
at all. She hasn't cared about it. She's barely remembered that there's a pandemic happening.
Yeah, she's kind of like, if it doesn't affect me, it's not my problem.
Oh my God, totally.
Yeah, and I think Samantha, like none of her friends know this because Samantha got so sick, everyone's like taking it super seriously. And so now that Carrie like has really like thrown caution to the wind and is just going about her day to day, like she has to lie to everyone in her life about like her whereabouts and what
totally.
She's doing.
She's such a horrific person.
Except for
person.
Stanford. Yeah.
Yeah. She confesses in her gay. She's like, Stanny, I may have made a boo-boo. She's like,
I know. Carrie's like meeting with stylists to like get like new, like to get clothes and stuff like that. Like she's just really not adhering to any of the...
Should we see her go to like put some hand sanitizer on and the bottle's empty from the bottom of her purse and she's like, oops, oh well.
Oh well, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So she's buried in lies and then I think sadly Petrovsky passes away.
He goes. He's gone.
He's gone. And who's responsible for this death?
Carrie Bradshaw.
Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
she's a villain.
She's a villain. And I think now, like, the photos come out. There's all these, like, leaks to the press. And it basically is, like, this woman's decisions led to this, like, the demise of this, like, great artist.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And everyone just, like, turns on Carrie.
Yeah.
Killer Carrie. She's called
Killer Carrie. And she's cancelled.
She's fully cancelled.
Yeah. Like, no one's ever been cancelled before. Like, Ellen is nothing compared to this. Like,
Ellen, not at all. Nothing.
She's seen as a murderer.
Like, she might have to go on trial for manslaughter. Yeah, like, It's like the first COVID-19 like manslaughter case is now being built against her for like the murder of Alexander Petrovsky. Yeah, like
Miranda. Miranda's working on the case. Miranda's working in Carrie's defense, but has no idea how she's going to get her through this.
Yeah, and I think Carrie like gets arrested at. I think she gets arrested either on the street or like at her apartment. Yeah. Like, and she is in jail and has one phone call. She calls Miranda, begs her to like help her post bail and like get her out of jail. And like, so then Miranda's like on the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Okay.
Meanwhile, Samantha is livid.
Livid. Because she's taken the attention away from her.
I think it's just like she's like, come on, like you knew better than this. Like, or either Samantha's livid or she doesn't care at all. And she's like, you've got to live your life. Like,
yeah, 100%. But she's wearing a mask. She's taking precautions for other people's sake.
Yeah, Samantha's doing the right thing, but she's also like a big fan of like personal autonomy and like the consequences of your own actions and like. She's kind of, she's very zen from having years in the program and like really a greater understanding of herself.
100%. Yeah.
So maybe she visits Carrie in jail and she's wearing like a full hazmat suit and and like comes in to sit down and like picks up the phone, like wipes it off with like a Clorox wipe and like picks it up to see Carrie through the glass.
Yeah.
And Carrie's like,
the hazmat suit's Chanel. It's Chanel.
Oh,
you know.
Yes. Uh-huh. Full Chanel head to toe.
Likes.
With like a, also like a little hazmat like bag.
Stunning.
That has a wand on it that you can spray down like disinfectant on everything.
I need one. Yes. So she's on the phone.
She even like sprays. Yeah. She'll like spray people down with like this disinfectant. And Carrie's like, you look fabulous. Like, no.
Yeah. Okay. So that. She's speaking to Carrie, and what are they talking about?
I think Samantha comes to visit Carrie for moral support, but she also breaks the news to her that maybe she breaks the news to her that Anthony's been murdered.
Yeah, yeah. He's been brutally murdered. People are dying left, right, and center now.
Yeah, it's like, this is where the movie takes a dark turn.
Yeah.
It becomes, like, very depressing.
Yeah.
And, like, everything gets all too real.
It's really
now we're
raw.
Like, about 5 months into quarantine, we're just, like, it's, like, tunnel vision of just, like, horrors.
Yeah.
So.
It's not a happy movie. So, sweetie, I've got to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony's been dicked to death.
Found in multiple suitcases across New York City.
Yeah.
And I think Laverne just really like this monologue of her explaining what happened to Anthony, along with like kind of footage of the FBI finding remains in suitcases. It's like gritty.
It wins her the Oscar.
So much. Yeah, her eyes like filling with tears and just her delivery. Also, the fact that she's able to bring such depth to this monologue while wearing a Chanel hazmat suit is like she's the greatest actress of our time.
Of our time. She wins the Oscar.
Yeah. And so she tells Carrie that Anthony's been murdered and Stanford is like in police custody, like being questioned as like a person of interest.
Yeah.
And just like breaks terrible news to Carrie, who's literally like in COVID jail.
Yeah.
Like she's just like, it's horrible in here. Like Ghislaine just got here.
Yeah. Ghislaine's there. Carrie's life has fallen apart.
Her life has fallen apart.
Big has no idea. Big's in bed. They can't get through to him.
Still locked in that room. Yeah. Maybe Big might die from just neglect at this point. Like, he literally cannot get out of this locked room.
100%. Okay.
And he can't use his computer correctly to, like, call for help. Like, he doesn't know anything about technology. So he's, like, slowly starving to death in their apartment.
He can't move. But has he died? Is he still alive?
They find him, and it's like in the movie Seven when they find that like really star. They find like one person that you think is like a corpse, but then it like moves. That's big.
Yes,
this movie actually is very similar to Seven by the end.
You almost feel like you're watching Seven. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's like it has kind of the cinematography shifts into like grayscale, and you're just like, wow, this is so bleak and dark. And then, yeah, it's like that goes full Seven.
100%. Okay, I love this. Okay. Okay, so we need to get Carrie out. Oh, Ghislaine's now in the cell next to. Does Ghislaine Maxwell have a cameo in Sex and the City 3?
I just love involving Ghislaine. Like Ghislaine, she might have a cameo, or she's referred to.
Well, she knew Big very well.
Oh, she did know Big very well.
Big was a guest on the island.
I think this is another revelation, is that as these flight logs and all the details of the Epstein stuff are being released, Big, it gets revealed as like a made, you know, 54 trips on the Lolita Express.
Totally.
And Carrie is now realizing that Big was like totally part of Jeffrey Epstein's whole deal.
100%. I feel like everyone gets their comeuppance in this film, because Anthony also was doing terrible things. There was like everyone that dies in this movie deserved to die.
Yeah.
Apart from Petrovsky.
Who was wonderful. An innocent man.
Making stunning art.
All this corruption, making stunning art, who changed. And actually, his death is what propels this exhibition. Like, if he had not died, maybe people wouldn't have appreciated The Big Shoe. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of goes hand in hand, and it, like, creates just, like, a ripple effect.
100%.
Throughout the art world.
Yeah. The art world is shook to its core.
Big, the police, because he's affiliated with Epstein, the police or FBI go, they SWAT the apartment, they break down the door, they find Big, what they think is a corpse because he's so wasted away, and then at the last second he gasps for breath, so they arrest him.
Yeah.
And he's now like a person of interest in this like case against Ghislaine, and like also he's been charged with sex trafficking, etc.
It's become a crime thriller.
Mm-hmm. A total crime thriller.
Murder.
And also we still have the storyline of like, what the fuck, who killed Anthony?
Yeah, and who okay, so where do we go with that? Who else needs was Brady involved in Anthony's death?
Honestly, not to get full J.K. Rowling, but he might have been involved in Anthony's death.
100%.
This is heavy.
Yeah.
It's not. We never promised it was going to be pretty. We never told you it was going to be pretty.
It's not a rom-com. This is probably the darkest film that's ever been allowed to be released in cinemas.
Yeah,
and it reflects our times.
Yeah, it's nothing. There's no. It's like the experience that you have after watching, like, Babel or something, where you're just like, oh my God, like this.
To be honest, it's just the feeling of watching the news, because 2020 is so dark. This just reflects the modern age.
Yeah. When you think, with this film, that it's gotten as bad and dark as it could possibly get, you fall through the floor and to reveal another layer and level of just like horror.
Another murder, another crime.
So Big's now in jail / like a hospital / jail.
Yeah. Tied to a bed or something.
Yeah. Carrie's in jail, like awaiting her murder trial.
With Ghislaine,
who's also awaiting trial, so they kind of become friendly, and Ghislaine like confesses everything.
They're in cahoots or something. They're like,
yeah, maybe they're trying to plan like a escape from Alcatraz kind of like jailbreak situation together.
Okay, so they think they found a way out, and how?
Yeah, Ghislaine's like, I've been hacking away at the wall in my cell with like a tiny paperclip that I found, that I snuck in here, and I've almost tunneled through Like, and I think that we could, yeah, come with me.
Yeah, we got this, sis.
And Carrie's like, okay, like, okay, yeah. And Ghislaine's like, I have a jet queued up. I have connections in high places. Yes, you'll have to hide for the rest of your life. But let's be real. What kind of life would you have anyways? You're looking at either spending the rest of your life in prison or just being like a social pariah forever.
Yeah, yeah. Like the paparazzi will be getting looking for you everywhere. You mm-hmm. will be, you're a public hate figure already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you'll never wear beautiful clothes again. You'll never get gifts from designers. You're never going to write another book. Like, Ghislaine slowly like convinces Carrie that the only way out is to like come with her and break out of prison.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, because we need to get to Carrie's death at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel
I have an idea about her death. But, I'll tell you and then you tell me and we can see how we feel. But I was thinking that during their big prison break, Ghislaine actually, she throws Carrie under the bus. Like, she uses Carrie as even, like, a shield of, like, police or bullets so that she can then escape. Yeah. And, like, Carrie feels so betrayed. Like, in that moment, Carrie's like, how could you do this to me? And Ghislaine's like, why wouldn't I do this to you? Like,
whatever happened,
you know who I am.
Whatever happened to, like, the, you know, girlfriends, like, the female
girl power.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Helping each other. I thought we were going to help each other. And like,
this movie deconstructs, it ruins any kind of feeling of girl power and feminism that you've ever wished for and experienced. Like, this movie takes down feminism.
The movie's central message is there's no such thing as feminism. And feminism is but a figment of our collective imagination.
Totally. Totally.
Which I think Ghislaine could say in like a monologue of her own, as like the rain is pouring down. She's looking into Carrie's eyes. It's like Carrie is bleeding out and asking her why.
The female bond. Ha!
Yeah. I've never heard such a ridiculous thing in my life.
Totally.
And she throws Carrie down on the ground and then makes a run for it.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Does Carrie die at that moment? Yeah.
She could live in the hospital. Like, she could get taken to the same jail hospital as Big and they could have like a notebook style death where they
die together in exactly the same moment.
They die together at the same time. Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful. But they're the most horrific people to have ever lived.
They're pretty awful. But it's like poetic in the fact, I think what Carrie goes through and her big realization is that she realizes that she and Big were meant to be together all along. And the more she fought it and the further she got from him, it only served to drive them back together.
Because and now they'll be together. They'll be
together forever.
Yeah. Wow. That's dark.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's not like it's kind of a beautiful realization, but it's also like a terrible realization.
You kind of don't know how you're feeling about it as you watch the movie. You're like, this is just so, it's so dark and twisted that you can't really get your head around it.
Yeah, like, I feel kind of oddly comforted by it right now, but who knows, seeing it on the screen, how I would feel, or, like, when I rewatch the movie, how it would make me feel. And I think also it would be nice to see them end up together and have them be like, hey, kid, like, you look like you've been through it. And Carrie's just, like, her hair is, like, plastered to her face, like, she's all, like, wet and, like, they're just like wheeled on gurneys next to each other to take their final breaths.
That's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
This
Maybe they're
movie,
handcuffed. They're handcuffed together.
Oh.
And then that's how they die.
And then they just, both their eyes close at the same time and RIP. But the movie hasn't ended there because we need the funeral.
Exactly. Thank
you. And I've got an idea for the funeral.
Okay, I love it. Go.
Okay, there's a twist. So we're at the funeral. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's a joint funeral. and you expect to, I mean, everyone, you know, there are so many burgers there writing a, you know, putting a post-it note on Carrie's coffin. You get all these, you get more cameos, like Easter egg characters that you totally forgot, you know, everyone's at this funeral. And then the girls are not at the funeral. There are like these three empty seats at the front, and you get like some chat. You get like, oh yeah, where's this Miranda that Carrie was always mentioning? Or, oh, where's Samantha that featured so heavily in Carrie's columns? Or, oh yeah, where's Charlotte? I thought Carrie was always going on about the show. And then you suddenly realise the girls never existed. These three characters, Samantha, Charlotte and Miranda, were just figments of Carrie's imaginations. They were extensions of her personality that she just couldn't quite tap into. She'd made them up in a kind of crazy, psychotic sort of way of living her life. And then we get all these flashbacks. We get like, you know, we get the ball game from episode one, when Carrie sat there smoking with a hot dog and a big fur coat. And, you know, we get this flashback and she's just sat there alone. The girls are not sat
talking
with her.
Talking to herself.
Talking to herself. And it's like, this plot twist is like, it's like the massive secret that you don't talk about when you go and see Sex and the City 3. It's like the big thing that you just, if you see the movie, there's sort of like this unwritten rule, you don't talk about the twist. It's like The Others with Nicole Kidman, when you realise that they are dead. But you don't ruin the surprise. As so we get all these flashbacks, and you know, they're on the Staten Island ferry, or they're at the barbecue with the trans girls, you know, and they all take the photo, but you realise that it's just Carrie taking a selfie with the trans girl.
Yeah.
The other three girls are not, they never existed.
They never existed. I love a flashback sequence of it's just Carrie the entire time.
It's just
trying
Carrie
to sneak up to the roof of like Soho House
by herself.
Yeah. In the cafeteria, like where she like, where she has like the, oh my God. Yeah. All by her lonesome.
The brunch, it's just her table for four.
Just her talking to herself. When she comes in to brunch after being in Paris and everyone screams and they're so happy to see her, she just walks in and screams to an empty table and then sits at an empty table.
And everyone turns around in the restaurant and they're just like, oh, New York.
They're like, there's that crazy.
Lady again.
Yeah, totally.
And no
one ever thought to question it that much because they were like, oh, that's just Carrie. Like,
yeah. Stanford's like,
she wears wild. Look at the clothes she wears. Like, she dresses like a crazy person.
She's insane.
She probably is like a little crazy.
Yeah. And Stanford was always a bit, you know, he just kind of put up with her and felt, you know, they've been friends for years and
he paid attention, but not like really.
Yeah. And so that's the big twist, the big plot twist of Sex and the City 3. It was just Carrie all along. And you're watching this movie and then you question the last 20 years of your life as a viewer. You're like, but I loved all four of these. I was a Miranda. I was a Samantha. And she never even existed. You really question yourself. This movie changes the film industry and society as a whole.
And it changes, like, even, I think, art, just as far as, like, what you can do with characters and, like, building a whole world out of truly fantasy and then deconstructing it in, like, a moment's notice.
The drop in the last 4 minutes of the last movie. Everything suddenly changed.
Yeah, of, like,
changed.
The final movie of the whole franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just tear it down to where everything that you thought you knew was a lie.
Totally. I've just had a thought. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, as Carrie's coffin gets sort of sent to be cremated, you just see these two Wills from a wheelchair sort of arriving into the crematorium, and then it pans up and who is in the wheelchair? Lexi Featherstone. Lexi. Two sort of completely busted legs, because when she fell out of that window she landed on a terrace.
Mm-hmm.
I broke every bone in her body. No one saw her. She wheels herself in big dark sunglasses. She takes them off. She looks into the camera and she says, "Huh, New York really is over."
Yeah. Fiend. That's the end.
That's it. The end. Do we
do we ever explain what happened to Anthony, or is it just like, it just is like he was murdered and found in? Because if Miranda doesn't exist, then Brady doesn't exist.
Oh my God.
And you so Brady couldn't have killed Anthony.
I mean, the whole thing, I mean, what did exist then? I mean, you just, this is what I'm saying. Like, you watch this, this third movie and you're like, what the
what happened?
You question
here?
The last 20 years of your life watching this TV series and these movies. You're like, what? Did New York exist? Does New York exist?
You have to Google that afterwards, because everything you thought you knew about even New York is potentially also a lie.
Yeah, everything you thought you knew about the world. Did 2020 happen? Did 2020 exist?
Yeah, and maybe even New York, by the time this movie comes out, like, New York as we know it doesn't exist anymore.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get a climate change. We didn't get a climate change storyline.
But did climate change exist?
Does climate change exist? This movie actually turns people
insane.
To QAnon. Yeah. This actually spawns. This movie spreads so much like misinformation, and it really just rocks people's very world that they have no choice but then to just like queue up, and like they go full QAnon after seeing it.
What does that mean? What's QAnon?
QAnon is, I guess it's more of like an American phenomenon, but it's a group of conspiracy theorists who believe, like, were you familiar with like the Pizzagate rumors at
yes,
all?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so QAnon believes in Pizzagate, and they also believe that like elites are in like a cabal, I guess, to child traffic like innocent children and then suck like adrenochrome out of their bodies for their own gain. They really believe in like that tons of children are getting like used by elite like overlords for adrenochromes. I think they truly believe this, and like more and more people are signing up with QAnon. You don't even sign up. I think you just like identify yourself as a QAnon person.
So this movie sort of breaks down society as we know it, and it's the catalyst.
The last movie ever made.
It's the
final movie. Not only is it the final movie in the Sex and the City franchise, it is truly the last film that ever gets made, because I think it also sets up the idea, like, somehow, I think through the way that we treat COVID in this movie and talk about it, this movie proposes that maybe COVID was just like created in a lab or something.
Totally.
It wasn't as bad. Like, it just perpetuates all the wrong ideas.
Totally. This movie's fucked, is what it is. Mm-hmm. And okay, the movie's called Sex and City 3, The Final Nail in the Coffin. Nail as in you're getting nailed, like you're getting fucked. The final nail in the coffin.
Yeah. Yes.
That's Sex and the City 3. Oh.
It's really good. I think we could get a storyline. Okay, here's how we get our climate change, because I want to be able to address everything that you had brought up.
Totally. Okay.
As writers, as creators, it's our duty.
Yeah.
I think that Lily G and Brady's character are fighting for truth and justice.
Yes.
And they represent the youth.
Yes.
They represent hope.
Hope, yes.
Yeah, and so you see, I think we'll have several scenes with Lily G, like maybe in Samantha's gala when she's making her speech on Zoom, she brings like climate change into it. And Charlotte's like, why would you bring that up? Like, this is a fashion event, like blah, blah, blah. And you see her fighting with Charlotte about like climate change. And Lily organizes like a big, she and Brady are organizing like huge protests for climate change and whatever,
and Charlotte's so right wing and pro Trump that she doesn't believe in climate change. Charlotte's like, yeah, that doesn't even exist.
And I think during these protests, like, I think there are scenes of, you know, Black Lives Matter protests and climate change protests that are happening. You see, like, Lily G and Brady on the front lines. And you see also Carrie joining these protests
for clout.
Just to be closer to, yeah for clout only, to post it on Instagram. It's, like, right in between. It's the protests happen right after Petrovsky dies, but before Carrie is arrested and people find out that she killed him. So, like, her way of trying to, like, change the public's opinion or whatever is to, like, join up, be, like, Instagramming herself with, like, all these, like, high-profile protesters with Lily G, and, like, really fighting for what's right. But really, it's like she just killed Petrovsky. And so then at the end of the movie, like, I think the way that you keep people watching without, like, killing themselves from depression midway through the movie is that you always go back to, like, Lily G and Brady are
the future,
our hope for the future. They are the, but then by the end of the movie, the knife to the gut is that they never existed.
They didn't exist.
There's no hope. Everything is fucked. Yeah.
The final nail in the coffin is that.
The final nail in the coffin.
Everything is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's amazing.
This is incredible. It's like David Fincher directs it.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's the last
the darkest movie,
movie
you've ever seen.
It's the last movie that's ever made.
It ever. Because also, I think after this movie comes out, it pisses China off because China does not want any sort of bad press or to be painted bad in any, like, big Hollywood production. So China's just like, fuck you, Hollywood. We are not giving you any of our money anymore. That lack of income shuts down the film industry.
100%. Shuts down just media.
It creates so much tension between China and the US that there's World War III breaks out. And
Sex
literally
and City 3 and World War 3.
World War 3. It makes it tracks. Yeah. And truly everyone becomes a refugee of some sort. Whether it's a climate refugee from climate change, whether it's a nuclear war fallout refugee, like, it, the whole world shifts into just a hopeless, bottomless pit of despair
because of Sex and the City.
Yeah.
it's incredible.
Yeah,
it ruins
people,
everything.
If there was a future where people could write history books, they would include, this would be the greatest history,
the Sex and City
the greatest
franchise
story ever told. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be the thread of, like, modern history.
But unfortunately, it just leads to the destruction of the world as we know it. So,
And books don't exist. Books are never made after this. Like,
no, books are burned. Like, everything changes. And, like, all you have is you either lived through it and lived to tell the tale to your children, or you live through it and then you also die. It's just a moment in time.
What does Lexi say at the end? She looks in the camera.
New York really is over.
Stunning.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's a great...
Have you brought Lexi back in this podcast?
She's been brought back in one episode where it turned out that she... I don't think she was really dead, but she broke every bone in her body and became, like, a bionic woman, or she uploaded her consciousness into a robot. So she became, like, a robot, and then she ends up being, like, a mastermind behind, I think, some Israel and Palestine conflict, and, like, uses kind of Carrie and Lily as a pawn in, in the Middle Eastern conflict.
Oh, Lexi.
So, you know, Lexi, as she's wont to do.
Yeah. Well, that's the movie.
I love this movie.
It's incredible.
I love what it means and what it's trying to say, and, like, its impact. It's impact alone.
The culture around Sex and City 3 you've never seen you've never seen a movie like it before.
Yeah, groundbreaking. Oh, thank you so much, Jodi Harsh,
so
for being on this podcast. This was, you really created a masterpiece.
Oh, thank you. I loved it.
Tell everyone where they can find you.
At Jodi Harsh on, I guess, all social media platforms. That's JodiHarsh. That's where to find me.
Oh, God, I love it. Well, hopefully a producer will hear this cursed movie and decide that it really needs to be made.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think it's going to happen. I have high hopes for this film.
Yeah, I have a good feeling that at least something that we talked about in this movie will happen.
Totally. Do you think the Sex and the City 3 will genuinely ever happen?
Honestly, I don't think that Kim would come back. But also, yeah. I'm kind of like, never say never, because, and I never underestimate people's affinity for nostalgia. Mm. And so I think that even in like 10 years or something, you could have like Sex and the City 3 book club edition.
Yeah. We just need to see where they're at like in their 60s.
I think it's always a conversation that we can revisit decade after decade.
100%. Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And until next time.
Bye.